I'm Laura Jones, Director of Kids and Families at Midtown Fellowship. I wanted to start by reading to you Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, if you are a parent who loves Jesus, you indeed have been ordained by God to be a life group leader in your home for the next 18 years or so, intensive on the regular. And it is a privilege, but it's an enormous endeavor, and it's challenging. And we desperately need Jesus to help us. And the good news is that it was God's design that through our children, that they might know him, but also that we might grow as believers in becoming conformed to the image of Jesus by parenting. Yeah, that is called sanctification. And I truly believe that there has been nothing that served as more of a catalyst to my personal growth and has cultivated my love for Jesus because of an increased awareness of my need for Jesus than parenting and trying to parent well. But we are called to be pretty much a Jesus-centered family on mission in our home. And part of doing that is creating a family culture where God is known and enjoyed through spiritual disciplines. So I wanted to talk to you guys today about some of the spiritual disciplines that we have in our church member covenant that really are something we want to see all our members practicing. And pretty much what you're doing is by practicing spiritual disciplines, you are intentionally creating a time and space for God to work and move in your life. I'm going to go through a list of seven today. The first one is Bible learning, teaching. So Bible informative teaching. We're going to talk about prayer for your children and with your children. Confession and repentance, one another's, generosity, and serving. And those are seven of the spiritual disciplines that we want to see practiced within our church family. I'll briefly touch on confession and repentance based on what we've got on the sheet. It says, do your kids see you confessing to your spouse and repenting in front of them? Are you practicing the spiritual discipline of confession and repentance? Do you confess and repent when you've sinned against your children? Do you create a home environment where grace and forgiveness are regularly practiced? Are you quick to ask forgiveness or forgive in your home, pointing to Jesus and your need for him daily? It's so important as we're raising kids to have a grace-filled home. And the way we do that is regularly confessing in front of our kids our desperate need for Jesus, that we are sinners in need of the gospel, just like our kids are sinners in need of the gospel. And so when we fail, we get to admit our failures and demonstrate to our children that we are made perfect in Jesus, that we are free to screw up and fail, that we aren't God's kids based on our performance, but that God in His grace chose to adopt us as His children, and that's forever. So we're freed up to admit our failures and our faults, and we want to do that in front of our kids, and we want to express our need for grace, for Jesus' forgiveness and help to turn away. And then we want to be doing that with our kids. We want to cultivate an environment where they feel like they are free to screw up, and they're free to confess and admit that they've done wrong, because they know that grace abounds. Another one of the spiritual disciplines that we want to be practicing in our home and with our children is one another's. There are at least 56 one another's in the Bible. Among them, of course, is just love one another, forgive one another, confess to one another, show hospitality toward one another, be generous, encourage one another, serve one another, honor one another. And I've heard parents ask this question: should I require my children to obey the law of love when I know that they're not professing believers? When I know that they're not trusting in Jesus, how can I expect them to live this way? Well, the beautiful truth is that the law is the schoolmaster that leads us to Jesus. And we can train our kids up in that same way as we challenge them to love when they don't feel like loving, to be generous when they don't feel like giving or sharing, to honor other people even when they don't think they're worthy of honor. And when they see that they lack the ability to do that on their own, that's our opportunity time and time again to confess that we too struggle to love people well on our own, but that we need Jesus' help, and Jesus is ready and available to come alongside us and help us, that we need God's Spirit, His transforming power, to help us love and obey. We can't do it on our own. So it's a great opportunity to lead your children to Jesus and to help them understand their need for the gospel, because they will see that they fall short. We want to be practicing one another's in our home and outside of our home. It's just a way of life. Generosity is another opportunity, a spiritual discipline that you can practice, and then you want to encourage your children to practice. This might look like having a way that they can earn a little bit of money in order to tithe on Sundays, and they can start to practice tithing. It also means that they can give with you and alongside of you. We have a great opportunity every December with our Give campaign. I know 1 year we bought shoes for children in foster care. And we've done other things where you can take your children with you to pick out the shoes or pick out the school supplies and let them participate in being generous and experience the joy of giving alongside you. So it's great to just be mindful of if you're being generous, let them in on it. Let them participate in that as much as possible. And then they're serving. Certainly there are ways that we can teach our kids to serve in each other inside the home and outside the home. We want our kids to not always be put to the side when we're serving people or doing ministry, but we want to learn, especially as our kids get older and older, what it looks like for them to come alongside of us in mission. And as we go along, we're explaining to them why we're serving and why we're helping people in the community, and then allow them as much as they're able to participate in that too. They have opportunity to serve within our church as they get older. A lot of our older elementary students are serving in Kidtown Baby Room with their moms. Older kids can serve maybe with their dad on parking team or with one of their parents on host team, handing out things, welcoming people. My son was able to serve in production as a middle school student, and it just gives him such joy to be able to use his giftedness to serve the church family. But what I want to spend a little bit more time on today talking to you about is actually having an intentional time in God's Word with your family on a regular basis. It's one of those things that's vastly important, but can be a real challenge to start doing because I think a lot of us feel ill-equipped or simply too busy. And it's a challenge to continue to do, to make it a priority. But what's amazing is we've got so many resources as parents now to help us teach our kids at various ages, from toddler all the way up to high school, at their level. And I've included in the handout, and there's a link online of a bunch of resources that either my husband and I have used or we have that have been recommended to us to use that have been really great for kids. What's really cool about Midtown Fellowship, and I've never been a part of another church that does this, is that here your kids almost always are going to be learning the same thing that you guys are learning in the gathering. They're going to be learning that in Kidtown on a kid-friendly level that they can understand. So each week we coordinate with teaching team and pastors and develop content that we can teach to preschoolers, lower elementary and upper elementary students using the same scriptures but helping them understand it on their level. And that's why grabbing that home link is so important. That's something for you guys to take and use as a resource to have conversations with your kids about what you are learning, what the Lord is teaching you, say through the study of 1 Peter, and then asking your child what they're learning through the study of 1 Peter week by week so that you can just really develop gospel fluency in conversation with your kids, whether that's a structured or unstructured time. We also include a scripture memory verse that you can try to set as a goal to memorize with your family for that month. They're generally monthly memory verses, so we give you plenty of time to work on those, and then we recite them on Sundays. So that's something that you could be using as a resource for your family. Some of the ways that you can make sure your family devotional time or your time in the Word as a family is actually going to happen. A gospel disclaimer here, faithful involvement in family Bible study and prayer is not the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that makes us right with God. The good news is that as believers, we've been freed up to love, to value, and enjoy God. We get to be part of His grassroots strategy to redeem the world, and that starts right inside of our homes. So as parents, we're ambassadors of Christ to our children. We get to show them what it looks like to have a relationship with God by reading His Word, talking to Him, so that's prayer, obeying His commands, and enjoying His presence. Essentially, we get to teach them how to abide in Christ by practicing spiritual disciplines. And so the spiritual discipline of getting in His Word and studying His Word is something that we want to make a priority, because what better way to speak the gospel into our kids' lives on a regular basis? What better way to provide a regular time for our kids to learn about God from us? What better way to provide our children with ongoing opportunities to ask us about the things of God, such as Christian worldview, in a comfortable context? What better way for you to verbally communicate your core beliefs to your children and to provide workable, reproducible examples to your kids of how to have a distinctly Christian home? The question is, for every family, when? When is this going to happen? Honestly, it's just a matter of planning the time that's right for you guys, that's convenient for your family, whether that's breakfast, dinner time around the table, after dinner, before bedtime, sometime when all of your family is together for 10 to 30 minutes, and then plan how many nights a week, how many days a week you think are realistic for you. That might be every day of the week, but for a lot of us, that's not the case. Maybe that's 3 days out of the week you want to be intentional about having family devotions and being in the Word and prayer with your kids. But try to set some goals. So plan that time, protect that time, because just about everything you can think of will compete with this time. And you need to be able to guard it with all of your heart and push back on the busyness of life. So what you want to do is make it regular and realistic. And then once if you get off track, it's okay. Next week, get right back on track. It's really never too late to start family devotions, and it's never too early to start. Kids that are toddlers and they don't have a clue what's going on will at least know that this is something that's a priority to your family, that it's important, and that provides an opportunity for you and your spouse or with your other children to be in the Word on a regular basis. So it's a win-win. I think one of the other obstacles to making sure this happens is feeling inadequate. And so you want to ask yourself the question, how am I going to do this? I need a plan. Sometimes if you don't have a plan and you actually all get to the dinner table and have a designated time and you don't have a plan, it just doesn't work out. So what Mike and I have done over the years, typically, although we have spent time just in the scripture or really focusing on something we're learning at the gathering, a lot of the time we'll use devotional books. We're going through a series of books by Sally Michael that really focus on the character of God. And so we'll have that book by the table so that when we all finally make it to the dinner table and we sit down, really all we have to do is pick up the book and read and ask the questions at the end of the chapter to hopefully stimulate some thinking and discussion. And that way we don't have to really plan anything out, and we don't have to try to figure out if we're going to do a craft or try to make it fun or whatever. It's all just laid out there before us, and all we have to do is activate the plan. Some parents feel like, oh, well, this won't be fun. I'm not a fun teacher. I'm not creative. Honestly, it can be as creative and elaborate as you want, or it can be as simple and basic as works for you. Please don't feel like you have to entertain your children in order for the time that you spend in the Word to be valuable. So you just want to plan it, to protect it, to activate that plan, to guard it. When you get off track, get back right back on track. It's never too late to start, and it's never too early to start. Along with that, you want to be praying with your kids. Part of abiding and then training up your children to have a relationship with Jesus is prayer. And so you want to be able to have formal times of prayer where you're praying about specific things with your child. So you're praying for your child, and you're helping along with your child. You're praying for various concerns for your child's friends, for your family members, for your church family, for world events that they may be aware of that are scary, to know that God is working and He's powerful and our prayers are powerful. Just praying for classmates that don't know Jesus. But it's important to be bringing those concerns to God on a regular basis with your child. And then freeing up your child to be able to pray in a way that he or she feels comfortable, and even inviting your child to pray for you and letting them know that you need prayer for a certain issue, and then kind of empowering them and encouraging them that mom and dad need prayer. Would you mind praying for me about this issue? So you want to be praying at set times, but you also want to teach them how to abide by praying throughout the day as issues come up. So in the chaos of life, it's really easy to forget to pray when your child comes to you and expresses anxiety or fear or concern. We want to just calm their fears and send them off, and we forget sometimes, hey, we've got access to the God of the universe, and he hears our prayers. So let's just stop real quick and bring this to God. So whether you're driving down the road and your eyes are open, whether you're at the zoo, whether you're at home, you can always talk to God and bring him your cares and concerns. It's also really important to be praying for your kids, either with your spouse, or if you're single on your own, or with friends, in an intentional way. What Mike and I have found is helpful is we've had a list, which is included in your handout, of prayers that are based on scripture that you can pray for your child or children each day. So, for example, if the day is the 18th, I just look at my chart and the topic is perseverance, and the scripture is Hebrews 12:1. Lord, teach my children perseverance in all they do, and help them especially to run with perseverance the race marked out for them. I found that when I'm praying scripture for my children, I'm more likely to focus on teaching them that particular attribute or that particular way to trust God if I'm praying specifically for them about that day. It just helps me to be more of a teacher. And gets my mind right. And it's been a delight when I've been disciplined enough to keep a prayer journal specifically for my children or with my children. And then I can go back, or we can go back and rejoice and look at what God has done for our family, or I can look at what God has done in one of my specific children's lives. And it's just a great way to remember that God hears us, and we want to be intentional about going back and thanking him for what he's done. I hope that this list is helpful for you. Once again, you know, doing these things, this is not what saves us. But the great news is that because of what Jesus has done for us, we are freed up to love and enjoy God in these ways. These are not things that we naturally want to participate. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to want to do these things. And sometimes we don't want to. And I have found over the years when I'm obedient and I discipline myself to create that time and space for the Lord, that it is precious, and it is always worth it. So I want to encourage you. I read the passage in Deuteronomy at the beginning of the session, and that confession of faith for the Jews in the Old Testament was like a bedrock confession about who God is, and really stressed the importance of passing that on to their children as one of the primary purposes of their lives. So what's great is in the New Testament, we have the power to be faithful. We have the grace that we need for that when we fail to do these things, and we will fail in different ways through periods of our lives, that that grace and forgiveness defines our lives, and not being a perfect parent. It is so freeing to know that and to embrace that. Please let me know if you have any questions about what I've said, or any of the resources that we have listed on the link or in the notebook.